As promised, I am thrilled to announce that our tickets for Australian True Crime Live are now available. Join me in Sydney, Brisbane, and or Melbourne this July. You can come to all three if you want. These tickets are expected to go very quickly, so be sure to secure yours by visiting the link in our podcast bio, or you can head over to the Australian True Crime Facebook page. There'll be a nice link there for you. Update for Brisbane, Australian True Crime fans. Brisbane is almost fully sold out for our live show. If you've been a listener for any length of time, you'll know how passionate I am about true crime stories from Australia. I'm looking very forward to an incredible evening together with you, sharing these captivating tales. We will have great guests as well. So, you know, we love a Q&A. If you've ever come along to an Australian true crime live gig, you'll know we love a Q&A with our guests. Don't miss out. Book your tickets today, and I'll see you in July for a memorable night out. This is a true crime podcast, as the title suggests.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So please consider this your warning that it's not suitable for children, and it probably will contain content that may be triggering to some people. Also, it's an Australian true crime podcast, so Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners should be aware it may contain the voices of deceased people.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present, and those emerging.
Anne Mann is a journalist and social philosopher, and her new book, Crimes of the Cross, has taught me an enormous amount about a subject I thought I was reasonably well educated in, and that's the sexual abuse of Australian children by members of religious clergy. Crimes of the Cross is specifically about a paedophile network run by members of the Anglican Church in Newcastle in the 1980s and 90s. It's made me realise that the shocking details of the crimes committed by Catholic clergy have almost blinded me to some of the other revelations brought into the light by the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. This story has many similarities to those we've heard about the paedophile priest cluster in Ballarat and the measures the Catholic Church and its allies went to silence victims and protect offenders. But it also has many differences. Crucially, Anglican ministers are not required to remain celibate, and, as you'll hear, those in the Newcastle diocese in particular enjoyed a very high-profile social scene. I urge you to buy a copy of Anne Mann's book, Crimes of the Cross. And of course, we have a link in the show notes and on our Facebook page to help you do that, because we couldn't possibly cover everything as she does, so thoroughly and so movingly, with the assistance of one victim survivor named Steve Smith. But we begin our conversation by talking about the ongoing reluctance our community appears to have when it comes to talking about this issue.
I think human beings have a really strong impulse towards denialism. So you're able to keep your worldview, your sense that things are okay, sense that the world is a just place, a reasonable place, a place that where you can walk through and not have to realise that this person and that person may be ready to prey on your kids. You keep an intact sense of the world. Whereas when you go into the world that I've inhabited the last 5 years, you begin to see it very differently, and you begin to realise that all this is indeed possible. But you have to get over the barrier of denial. You have to get over a certain just revulsion at what's happening, and the desire to look away, especially when it completely disrupts your world and you have to start perhaps from the position of shame about your institution, or guilt that you did nothing, or guilt that you looked the other way, rather than inhabit that painful but truthful space, truthful but honest, you know, painful space. Instead, it's much easier just to take refuge in, oh, it didn't happen. I did start off the book thinking that I'd do a book on the Royal Commission and a number of case studies, including the Ballarat one. But then I heard about the Anglican case, and I suddenly thought, this is the one. This is the one that is going to explain to me how the power structures of a city, how the community has allowed this to happen.
And through doing that, you introduced me to concepts, phrases, and ways of looking at the situation, like the grey network, for example. Explain the grey network.
Right. Well, every dark network of dark actors, meaning pedophiles, usually have a grey network, either consciously or unconsciously protecting them. And that was what was so interesting in the Newcastle case. I could see the hugely important role of the laity, meaning non-ordained clergy, but people who are parishioners or devout people as part of the church, but held senior roles of governance. And they had a huge role all the way through in protecting the church, protecting abusive priests from the legal consequences of their actions. The Anglican case is particularly interesting because it was intertwined with the power of the city. So one of the key players and key abusers, one of the key people in the network, in the dark network, was Graham Lawrence.
Lawrence was found guilty of the 1991 rape of a 15-year-old boy who he lured into his living quarters at Newcastle's Christchurch Cathedral after a youth band concert.
Lawrence also took steps to ensure his victim's silence. Lawrence told him not to tell anyone about what had just happened. He said, "You're just a boy. I'm the dean. No one will believe you."
He was the dean of the cathedral. And as dean of the cathedral, he was second in command, so second most powerful person in the diocese officially, but unofficially, he ran the bishops. He was there for many, many years, 25 years. He was charismatic, charming, handsome. He was a great networker. He hung out all the time at the Newcastle Club. And in Newcastle, this was an all-male gentleman's club, very much modelled on the old English model. And it's where the power brokers hang out. It's where wealthy businessmen, it's where the wealthy influential lawyers and the people of consequence in the town. So he networked with them, and he had also many of these people over to dinner at the deanery. And the key point there is to understand that the pedophile doesn't just groom the child that they are going to abuse. They groom the people around the child, and that includes the community. And then here's the key point about why you might network as a pedophile. When Graham Lawrence was under threat, he was going to be defrocked. That's what the board recommended. He took it to the Supreme Court. And who helped him? This community of powerful, wealthy backers. They helped pay for this enormously expensive Supreme Court bid. So that's why you network. That is why you have, so that when you're actually accused, you will have people who fervently believe in your innocence. And with respect to Lawrence, they had all sorts of arguments about how it was homophobia when he was clearly abusing an underage boy.
Yes, because he was an out gay man, right?
He was, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, this rewriting of which we see, it can become a shield that abusers hide behind after a while, that this is just homophobia, and try to downplay the fact that we're talking about children. We're not talking about gay men.
And absolutely not. And there is no link whatever between being gay and paedophilia. Only homophobia, if something as nasty and bigoted as that, could turn up such an idea.
I think it's also significant because in the Catholic situation, there's always been a school of thought that, oh, well, it's happened because priests aren't allowed to marry. That's always been one school of thought. So they're sexually repressed, and that's why this has happened. And the second school of thought is, well, there's a lot of male victims, so they must be repressed homosexuals. This is another reason why this has happened. And then another interesting thing about your book is we are looking at men who are allowed to marry. This is a church in which the priests and the preachers are allowed to marry. There is no repression of their sexuality and even their homosexuality.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The book is centered on a story of Steve Smith, who was this really brave survivor.
Eventually, I mean, his abuser, Father Parker, just in so many ways, unfortunately, and it's shocking for me to say this, I was going to say, in so many ways, your classic pedophile priest. He blows into town. He's the new guy in town, the new priest. He's young, he's handsome, he's kind of groovy. He's the groovy young priest, got long hair. And he's at the dinners. He's in people's homes a lot, and he's sitting next to the children. And he's, you know, of course, the mums love you. You've got access to the kids, right?
Right. And he really cultivated Steve's mother. And so then she's sending Steve over to mow his lawn. He's completely alone with the priest. And in fact, Steve was really as resourceful a child as you could imagine. He had no idea how to tell anyone. And the priest was, this is a very common aspect of the grooming, which goes on. The priest was telling him, no one will believe you. He was threatening Steve with physical violence. He was threatening his family. So this is a little kid from age of 10 to 14. And he's trying to navigate this world that he's suddenly been plunged into. So he would find ways of, from this very devout child who wanted to be a priest, his mother wanted him to be a priest, And I can tell you, I think he would have made a fantastic priest because of his innate kindness.
You talked about the lead up, which I think is so important too, and about his knowing it wasn't right, his feeling it was uncomfortable when they were getting changed together in the early part and, you know, in the vestry. And so they're, you know, initially, I guess you're not thinking about it, you're a little boy. And then all of a sudden, for no reason at all, the grown man is right behind you, pushing his body against you, and you're in your underwear and he's in his underwear. And just knowing that's weird. That's weird. Why is he, you know, so this subtle, the breaking down of the barriers and the feeling like that's weird, but nothing more than that happens. So I'm not going to tell anyone. What is there to tell? And the way it builds up from that point to violent rape. Yeah, it's really important for other people, I think, to know about.
Well, I agree. I think that that's one of the most important things I hope the book achieves, which is you could have a subtitle, which is how it happens. How it happens. So each little stage is a stage of integration into the next one. All the time, Steve, and all the survivors I spoke to, were dealing with something I'd call moral injury. It's not just a physical thing that happens to them. It's a moral injury. And that's what's so distressing. It's a moral stress. It's a moral injury to know that this adult who you've been taught to respect is suddenly behaving like that.
So what? How did Steve, and you've met him and worked with him extensively on this book, and you paint a very thorough picture of this man. It's astounding. And I've met a lot of amazing people through this podcast, and it does astound me when people just have the courage or something, the wherewithal is the only way I can describe it, to keep fighting. And you talk about this with this guy. He lost everything. So he's like 20 or 21 and he's already lost a marriage and his kids to this. His young wife has said, I can't handle you and I have to move away with the kids because his depression, his everything that goes along with being the victim of child sexual assault is just getting on top of him. He's so young. How does he keep picking himself up and push forward? And he ends up by 2001, he's in court. He's taken this all the way. How?
It's a good question. I sometimes think people, human beings, are mysterious. There's something about them that's far more than the sum of their upbringing, or there's some indefinable quality, and Steve has that. The other thing I'd say about Steve is he has also had some good people who have become allies of his. One was Michael Elliott, who was the first full-time professional standards director in from 2009, and he came and he became a real ally of Steve. He believed him and he looked into his case, but together they were really working on this pedophile network. So, yeah, Steve had that alliance, and then he also had a terrific policeman called Jeff Little who decided to reopen his case and to investigate and to get George Parker, this priest, to trial.
Although the case was reopened and was about to go to court, unfortunately, justice was not served because
George Parker died of cancer just before the committal. Nonetheless, the case wasn't thrown out or anything. It did get to committal. I had in my mind this question all the way through. What on earth is in the mind of the pedophile? When a child is trembling, frightened, upset, there's blood. If you have all of that, what are you telling yourself? If children were not regarded as human beings, and I think that's true. I've read so many accounts of a pedophile, what they've done, and clearly, no, the child is not being regarded as a human being with full feelings, full repertoire of capacity for damage. And I raise in the book, if we've got something called sexism that we understand, which is a devaluing of women to the point where you can treat them badly because they're not worth as much as this other human being called a male. Or there's homophobia. What about racism? Same. Devaluing of human being, anything is possible because you've devalued them more than a white person. What about childism? There's something we haven't thought about. So that is the devaluing of someone who's just had a lovely friend who used to run a school for children with a disability, and he used to call them very deliberately the little people. They're people, but they're just littler. Whereas even the word child is to separate them off as another category. And there's so much through the literature on child sexual abuse which shows that many of those weren't properly thinking about this being a human being just like them. Instead, they're acting to protect the chaps like us, people I identify with, who are the entitled male. It becomes a thing where the accent is on what I'd call clerical narcissism, where it's just about the priest and their sin, their soul, as if it's just a private matter between them and their God.
Thank you to our guest today, Anne Mann. And don't forget to buy a copy of her book, Crimes of the Cross.
If you need support after listening to this podcast, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737 732 or 1-800-RESPECT.org.au. Indigenous Australians can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or 13yarn.org.au. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
As promised, I am thrilled to announce that our tickets for Australian True Crime Live are now available. Join me in Sydney, Brisbane and or Melbourne this July. You can come to all three if you want. These tickets are expected to go very quickly, so be sure to secure yours by visiting the link in our podcast bio, or you can head over to the Australian True Crime Facebook page. There'll be a nice link there for you.
Update for Brisbane Australian True Crime fans. Brisbane is almost fully sold out for our live show.
If you've been a listener for any length of time, you'll know how passionate I am about true crime stories from Australia. I'm looking very forward to an incredible evening together with you, sharing these captivating tales. We will have great guests as well. So, you know, we love a Q&A. If you've ever come along to an Australian true crime live gig, you'll know we love a Q&A with our guests. Don't miss out. Book your tickets today, and I'll see you in July for a memorable night out.